The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
Hey, welcome back to the Brightside. This week, John and I talk about the Marvel vs. DC debate. Is there really a debate? We also talk about the rumors of the upcoming Batman movie and maybe even add a few of our own. Now, let's get to my favorite part of the week and head into the store. I'm going to jump right in. I wanted to ask you, and we'll talk about it after we do comics, but I wanted to let you know right away.
Okay.
Marvel versus DC.
What about?
Exactly. That's what we were talking about the other day. Which one do you like?
What is my preference to read?
Exactly.
DC.
Okay. But, like you said, what about it? And we'll talk about more about it after we get into comics. But this, it's multifaceted the way we were talking about it the other day.
Okay.
So I thought it would be a pretty fun topic. We'll see what we can do with that. How was your week doing?
Oh, man, it was pretty good. Yesterday was, I didn't know this till yesterday, but yesterday was National Be a Grouch Day. So my wife celebrated
what?
by buying me a cake, and she didn't smack me upside the head when I was rude to her, so I felt like I was on top of the world.
I got nothing.
Yeah.
Is that a real thing, or is she just trying to be nice?
It is
to
a real
you?
Thing. No, it's a real thing. Yesterday was National, it's called National Curmudgeon Day, but I wasn't sure if everybody would know what a curmudgeon was, so I said be a grouch.
Well, there
day.
You go. You're learning people right now.
Yeah. But yeah, so it's a thing. My wife didn't really buy me a cake. I made that part up. But it is really a thing.
Yeah, well, so. I got years ago for my parents' anniversary, we did this thing and we all went someplace and we all picked a Disney character. A Sesame Street character. And everybody got to pick their own Sesame Street character, except me.
Except you, yours was given to you, Oscar.
Yeah, there you go. They bought me a hat and everything. I like the hat too. Yeah. Pretty cool. But yeah, he was just given to me. So
right. Well, you know, sometimes the shoe fits.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. So, but yeah.
So we should have celebrated together yesterday.
Yeah, I know.
We should have done this yesterday.
I'm surprised my kid.
We could have been grouchy together.
Yeah, I'm surprised my kids didn't come home from college. There wasn't a cake, and like, but
well, now they'll know every year. January 29th is National Curmudgeon's Day.
I'm going to have to put that in my calendar. Let me see. I'm going to grab that. I'm going to put it in for next year right now. Put it in as an anniversary date.
There you go.
Yeah. I'll celebrate myself.
Right. I'll buy myself a cake at least.
Just another excuse to eat sugar.
Really? That's it?
Yeah. No, I don't have anything spectacular like that. Just a lot of reading and watching comics on the DC app.
Yeah, I saw you tweeted about that. Yeah, I watched, I read a lot of comics this week. I got pretty much caught up on everything that's current. Now I've just got to go back and try to read some of the back things that I have on my stack of things to read. But I went through all 11 parts of the new Uncanny X-Men.
Oh, yeah?
The night before last, yeah. Which is actually a pretty good series. Started off a little slow, but it came into its own about halfway through, and by the end it was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it quite a bit, because I haven't been a fan of a lot of X-Men stuff lately, even though I was always a huge fan growing up of the X-Men.
Yeah.
The new stuff for the last several years hasn't been great, so this was like a big like they pushed the reset button hard, so we'll see what happens.
Oh, cool.
You know, going forward, but you know, I'm optimistic. Anyway, I have my fingers crossed.
I'm the same way. I haven't read X-Men in years.
Yeah.
And I did. I used to read them all the time when I was a kid. I loved it when they crossed over with Spider-Man. Or actually, Spider-Man crossed over with them, it seemed. But
right.
But yeah, I haven't read them in years. So
yeah, they were one of my, you know, as a younger man, Teen Titans and X-Men were my two go-tos. So my favorite book ever was that one crossover they did with the new Teen Titans and the X-Men back in the 80s. I thought that was like the best. It's like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah. That's funny. So. Did you see, I watched this morning, Death of Superman. I saw it last year when it came out.
Oh, yeah, it's on DC
Universe. Yeah, so I was watching that, and I was going to binge that in Reign of Superman, which came out yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, I want to watch. I haven't actually watched either one yet. I've never watched the movie Death of Superman.
Oh, really?
Of course, I read. Yeah, I read the comics years ago. Of course. Yeah, I've never watched the animated movie.
It's not really like. It didn't seem anyway. I've seen it twice now, but it didn't seem like it was a lot like the comic. But it's pretty good. There's some really good humor in it. You'll like it. And then it really gets you at the end, you know, spoiler, Superman dies. Figured I could give that one away, but they do a really good job with it. I didn't mean this to turn into a review of it. I was just saying how I was going to make some references to other, DC, labels. And, it's pretty funny. It's pretty good. They do a good job. Flash is really funny.
Yeah, I do want to check it out probably this week. I just finished watching all of the 1977 version of Batman animated series. Which was pretty good. Yeah, I just binged all of that the last couple of days at the store.
Fun.
Now I'm watching Superman the animated series. So I've been watching a ton of animated DC stuff.
Yeah, I'm
on the app, but I don't put those movies on because when I'm at the store, I don't actually pay attention. It's just kind of on in the background.
Right.
But I want to actually watch those, so I have to wait till I get home and I can actually put them on and sit down and pay attention to them.
Yeah, I went through all of the Green Lantern. I think I mentioned that to you before. I did all the Green Lantern animated series, which they just talked about the other day on DC Daily. And one of the things they mentioned, they were talking about the two-part pilot episode.
Yeah.
And none of the other cast members or people on the couch there really watched the entire series except for one of the women there. And she's like, oh, I didn't think I was going to like it. And then I liked it so much, I just kept going and binge-watched the entire series. And she goes, and I came away going, why isn't there another season? So that makes...
Well, maybe 11 years from now, we'll get season 3.
Well, that's what I...
like we did with Young Justice.
That's what I was going to say. I was wondering if maybe they were even talking about it on the couch like that, because they are going to come out with another one. You know, another season for DC Universe.
I don't think that show has quite the clamoring for season 3 as Young Justice did, but... I'm sure there's plenty of people that liked it enough that they could do another one.
But the part that we don't know is, are they tracking it, like, on how many people are watching, you know, how many downloads they get? And if enough people, are, you know, say you have, out of how many percentages, how many people have the app, and what if, like, 70% of the people have downloaded and watched the entire series? Well then,
oh, I'm sure they're tracking all that.
That's what
stuff.
I mean. So maybe you know they'll be like, "Hey, why don't we do this?" And then they put it out. You know, just a thought. But I finished that a while ago, and then I was looking for something else to start, and I started Batman Beyond from the 90s.
Yeah, that'll be soon for me too.
And I watched it off and on back in the 90s. I wasn't a kid at the time, so I didn't really, I didn't have the time and stuff like that, but. I'm watching it now like almost every day. It's really good. I like it a lot. And lo and behold, they're announcing today that they're coming out. There looks like they're going to have a movie coming out, animated movie coming out in 2022.
I saw that. I saw that on Facebook today.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be good. It's a good series.
Yeah, I liked it. I'm the same as you. I wasn't, you know, obviously we're the same age, so I didn't have as much time to sit down and watch all that stuff when it was on, but I caught it like you know, here and there. I didn't watch every episode, but I definitely saw some of it. And yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. It seems funny when it goes around, comes around when you're a little,
I know. Cause now I'm even older and
I got
that's
the time
all I'm watching.
Yeah. That's...
Well, cause now I sit around, you know, at a comic book store all day.
Well,
you know?
Yeah.
I didn't used to have that job.
I'm not doing that, but I'm also not chasing my kids around anymore. You know? And it's such a difference. But, all right. You ready to get into some comics before we talk some Marvel and DC?
Yeah, sure.
All right. What am I going to be spending my money on this week?
All right. Well, a few books this week actually had quite a bit of speculator movement. But the first book I'm going to talk about isn't actually, as far as speculators go, lighting up any, lighting anything up. But Batgirl number 31 has the Stanley Lau Archer variant. I just want to say that because, once again, he delivers what's probably the one of the nicest looking covers I've ever seen. I mean, it's just a beautiful cover for Batgirl. So I would go out and grab that if you're a fan of comic book art in general. It's probably not going to go up in value for you, but it's a fantastic looking book. So definitely go out and grab Batgirl 31, the B cover. as far as the speculator books go, there were like three this week that actually saw some movement. First one is Wonder Woman 63, also the B cover. I'm going to butcher this name, but I think it's Shirahama. Variant cover. It's currently selling for about $13, so that's three times cover price. And they were pretty in demand today. I had a lot of people looking for that. Second one is from Ahoy Comics, so another very small publisher. This is Edgar Allan Poe's Snifter of Terror, number 4. Again, this is one of those books. I didn't order a single copy of this, it's not necessarily going to be on every comic book store shelf, but this book is selling for about $20 if you can find it. It's a really cool cover. It looks like it's modeled after the poster for the original Jaws movie. So it's got kind of Edgar Allan Poe. Looks like he's underwater.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it looks interesting. I don't know why
this
is really...
That's a weird tie-in.
I know, and I don't know why, and I don't know if that's why. Honestly, I can't tell you what the reason is for the price bump, but it is up there. You know, I was checking eBay today, and it's selling consistently around $20. And the third one is Spawn number 293. This is the C cover. So this is a black and white cover book, and the interior of the book was all supposed to be black and white. But somehow the printer messed up and they put the color version. They just put the black and white cover around the regular colorized version of the book. So Image sent out an advisory yesterday, saying that, you know, this was a mistake and that they were going to send the corrected copies to the stores, but they were not requesting the stores to send these things back. So this was free reign for the stores to do whatever they wanted with the copies they got today. And most stores, you know, as you can guess, this is now a misprinted book because it's not supposed to be color. So it's selling for about $30 on eBay right now, and it's probably going to go up higher because people love those misprinted books. And, you know, so the replacements will be out in a week or two, you know, with the black and white version. But this colorized version is going to be harder to come by, you know, once the new versions come out. So definitely go out and look for that if you can find it. It's easy to spot because it is a black and white cover. And
how does something like that happen? It's a black and white cover, and what? Everything was supposed to be black and white on the inside?
Yeah, the whole book was supposed to be black and white. But the printer, you know, but obviously there's just cover C, so there's also a cover A and a cover B.
Okay.
So, I mean, this book was printed in color.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But this version of it was supposed to be all black and white.
Oh,
so
okay.
The printer, somehow the printer just slapped the black and white cover over some of the colorized pages of... Now, the whole book isn't in color. It's like some of the pages got mixed in.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, like half of it's in black and white and half of it's in color. No, they didn't accidentally color the whole book.
I was like, how do you do that?
Yeah, no, they were supposed to, like, I guess, you know, like I said, they were supposed to print the non-colorized.
Right. They were two versions pages. And they got the wrong cover on the wrong version. I see.
Exactly, yeah. So, like I said, yeah, this thing went, you know, once this email came out yesterday, this thing blew up. You know, everybody started looking for it. And like I said, current selling price right now is $30. So if you can find one on the shelf, go ahead and grab it and put it away because it's going to go up higher than that. That's it for this week's speculator books. Moving on into the back issue bonus, one of the biggest movers this week is Shazam number one. This is the 1973 version. This is obviously when DC got the rights to the character and started printing him in his own book. You know, obviously this is due to the movie that's coming.
Yeah.
Coming up. High grade copies of this thing are going, you know, in the hundreds of dollars now, where they weren't, you know, obviously this has gone up a lot since they started talking about the movie. I think I sold a really nice copy of this about a year and a half ago for around $100, and it's going for double, triple that now. So, if you could find one of those, now would be the time to pick it up, because it's, as we get closer to the movie, it's only going to continue to raise in price. You know, obviously these aren't the, you know, his earlier first appearances when he was back in Fawcett. I didn't track the movement of those because those are Golden Age books. But I'm sure the prices are moving on those too. But, you know, now we're talking about books that are in the thousands and thousands of dollars and not just the hundreds. So,
oh, those are, we'll get into more of this as we get closer to the movie and stuff. But the whole, the whole lawsuit and stuff. Between
that's a whole big story. Yeah, and we could do we should do a show on that. But there's a whole big thing with that.
To him and Superman.
Between him and Superman, and then even currently the battle with Marvel over the name Captain Marvel.
Right.
So there's a whole. This character has had a very complicated history, and you know, there's a lot that went on behind the scenes with him. But,
it is funny that what goes around comes around.
Yeah, right. This was a character I think that DC bought initially just to put it on the shelf so it wouldn't compete with Superman. And then, you know, because they got the rights way before 1973. They just didn't do anything with it.
Right.
And then I guess they decided, well, hey, we've got this character now, so we might as well use him.
Yeah, it's like I said, we'll talk about it more when we get closer to the movie. But it is funny to even think that. With all the different characters that are so similar in both, you know, universes or whatever you want to call it, to think that there were lawsuits and stuff like that. I mean, imagine that today. I don't know. Do any go on now? I haven't heard of any.
Nothing I've heard of in quite a long time. So, I don't think so.
But,
Yeah, like I said, that's a weird story. So, there's a lot that goes on with that. But let's move on to the second one. This is one that you might still be able to find out there if you're lucky, but this is the Superman 100-page giant issue number 7. These are the Walmart exclusive.
Yeah, that's going to be hard to find. Comics. I think Walmart was told to pull them.
Well, last I heard they weren't being recalled, but there was talk that they may be. I'm not sure. I was able to get my hands on a copy last week. I haven't seen one since, but this is, you know, it's got a very controversial Lois Lane story in it. And it's selling for about $15 now, which is, I believe these are $7.99 retail. So it's about double cover price. And again, it's another one that looks to probably just keep increasing in price, especially as they become harder to find. And then the other problem is because they're Walmart books, finding them in good shape. Like, I actually did come across a batch of them last week, but they were all beat to hell. I mean, they were really in bad shape because, you know, they sit on the shelves at Walmart.
Yeah.
Was able to pull one decent copy out. And even the copy I got for myself is as far from, you know, mint condition, but is the best I could come up with.
Yeah, I went I went to my Walmart, and they had multiple of all of them.
Except for that
They even had a bunch from, like, the first one. Series one of this, which came out, what, over the summer or something like that?
Yeah, that's been quite a while.
But no Superman number 7s. But they had number 6s, Superman number 6, number 5.
Oh, yeah, I found plenty of 5s and 6s.
Yeah, but not a single number 7. And I was like, oh, all I could gather is either somebody knows what they're doing and they just beat me there, or the store just took them off the shelf. So.
Yeah, more than likely somebody beat you to it. But there's a couple of smaller Walmarts in my area that I can check out, and that's where I was able to come across.
Yeah.
The one that I got. So,
but the good news is I did find them. I've been looking for months for them in the Walmart, and I finally found them. So
where the books in general?
Where they keep them. Yeah. Which is, it's in the middle, it's right up front. Like you said, it was in the front by the register, like, I can't even, just, it, like, I think it's as seen on TV stuff is there.
Well, it should be where they have their, like, Magic the Gathering and Pokemon cards.
Yeah.
And kind of like their pop vinyls and their collectible toys. It's usually an aisle up front, at least in the ones I hear. They're not necessarily with the as seen on TV stuff, but they're in that general area.
Yeah. So it's a register aisle.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. All right. So Immortal Hulk number 12. This is the first appearance of the One Below All. This came out last week, so it's not very old. And it's currently selling for $12 to $15. So don't know what's going to happen with this character, the One Below All, going forward. But for some reason, it's got a lot of buzz around it. I'll be honest with you, I read the book. I don't even know who the One Below All is. So I don't remember it really being called out specific. I did read it, yeah. I don't remember it being specifically called out that, but for whatever reason, this book is, again, $15. It's four times cover price already after a week. So if you can find that, it's not that old, so you may be able to still find them if you've got a shop that doesn't get hit hard by speculators grabbing all this stuff up. I sold out last Wednesday, I believe, on maybe Thursday, of all my copies. So next book is Battle Angel Alita. This is issue number one from 1992, Viz Comics. Another one that's riding the movie buzz. Obviously, yep. That movie's getting ready to come out. So nice copies of this are sitting for around $100 right now. Don't know that you'll be able to find it much cheaper out there, but don't know what the ceiling is on it. Depends on how the movie, I guess it depends on how the movie does. Reborn number one from Image Comics. I saw this. This was actually something I had saved that I was going to talk about later, but I guess we'll just do it right now. Last week, Netflix attached itself to this property along with Sandra Bullock,
yep,
you know, to star in. And this is another Mark Millar title, so he does a lot of stuff that's very popular, and this is part of the deal he signed with Netflix to do a bunch of his movies. So this was a 4-issue, maybe 5-issue miniseries that came out last year. I really liked this book. I know a lot of people didn't love it, but I loved it. I thought it was great. It's got, the villain in this is so fantastic. I don't want to say anything, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't read it. But the premise of this book is, you know, Reborn, obviously. It's, you know, what happens when you die? You know, there's always that theory that when you die, you're reborn somewhere else, you know,
yep,
in another form or what have you. So this kind of takes along that premise. But I recommend reading it just for the fact, just so you can see who the villain turns out to be and the reason why the villain hates the main character so much. It is great. I really, really enjoyed it. And I thought it was a good title. So I don't know what's happening at Netflix, if it's just a 2-hour movie or if they're doing, I mean, it was only a 4-issue comic, so I can't really imagine it being an ongoing series, but we'll see what happens with it. But all that being said, this issue number one has spiked in price since last week when this announcement came out. It's currently selling for around $20. Again, it could have a high ceiling depending on how well this thing does at Netflix. You know, Sandra Bullock being attached obviously doesn't hurt because, you know, she's got a lot of star power. So it has the potential to be a successful thing for Netflix. So I'd go out and try to grab that now if you can.
And when did that come out? I missed
that.
Did you say?
What is this? 2017.
2017 it came out?
Yeah, 2017. Yeah. And I really, like I said, I really liked it. It was Mark Millar and Greg Capullo did the art. He did all the art for all of the New 52 Batman run. So I like him as an artist. And, you know, like I said, a great story, great art. So it's a really good book. You might have a hard time finding all 4 issues out there, but there is obviously there's a trade paperback if you want to read it. And I do recommend it. And then the last one I want to talk about as far as back issues go, this is another one of these exclusive books. Instead of Walmart, this is a Target exclusive. There's the DC Primal Age. This is another 100-page giant. This one, it has a $10 cover price, so it's a little bit higher than the Walmart books, but it's selling for about $20 now, so double cover price. I don't know how many other ones are in this line, though, for Target. This might actually be the only book. I haven't heard of any other titles that Target has had exclusively. I didn't even know about this one, to be honest with you, until I came across it this week. But for whatever reason, it's selling for $20. Probably just because it's so, you know, probably because it's hard to find. These books tend to get snapped up by speculators right off the bat. Somebody sees the case of them and they buy the whole thing. And then everybody else is kind of left looking for them. And that might be the reason why the price is up there. But if you can find one, now's the time to grab it. And let's move on into our final order cutoff books. The couple DC variant covers this week that are going up on order. First one is Batgirl number 32. This is the Derek Chu variant. Another, just, there, DC is knocking it out of the park with these full art variant covers. This is another one. I'm not sure if you saw the tweet I put out earlier.
Yeah.
They had this, the Batgirl and the Wonder Woman covers, but, just a great, great cover, for Batgirl 32. Detective Comics 999. This, in addition to being, you know, the story that leads you into Detective Comics 1000, which is a huge milestone. This book is already seeing a lot of attention because, you know, this story that's leading up to it has been pretty good in Detective. But this has a John Byrne variant cover, and I haven't seen John Byrne art in quite a long time. I can't remember the last thing he's done. You know, very big 80s comic book artist, was really popular at the time and, was one of my favorites. So I think that just the nostalgia alone for this cover will have people out there looking for it. And it's a great looking Batman cover. And then I mentioned it earlier, but I think the one, again, that'll have the biggest potential is the Wonder Woman 65, which is also the Stanley Lau variant. Again, I don't know. I can't say it enough. I don't know how else to describe the DC's, just the work that they're doing on these covers. But Stanley Lau delivers month after month. It seems like week after week with the covers that he does. Just fantastic artwork.
Yeah, we definitely seem to be talking more about DC covers and their variant covers.
Because they have those full art,
yeah,
semi-virgin variant covers, and they're just beautiful. I mean, they're just doing such good work. And it's not that Marvel doesn't have some good-looking covers out there, because they definitely do, but the differences are that DC doesn't make you jump through any hoops to get these things. Like, if for stores that want to order them, they can just order them. Like, they don't have to qualify. They don't have to do anything. Whereas Marvel, it seems like they're better-looking covers. You know, you have to order 100 copies of something to get their good covers.
Right.
They just make it harder to get. So, obviously, they're worth more money because they're, you know, scarcer. But I think just putting them out there with these great covers and letting you just order as many as you want.
Well, did you see my tweet on that? Somebody commented on it on Twitter, and I replied with, sometimes when they do those variants like that, where you have to have, like, you have to buy 100 copies, well, you got to pay the artist. So is right. Marvel, I don't want to say cheaping out, where DC just flat out pays the artist and then they just sell the covers. But Marvel's like, look, we have to justify paying this artist, so we're going to make it a more, like you said, more harder, sought-after cover because it's going to be limited.
Well, again, there's two ways to look at that, too, because how many stores just won't do it? Like, if they're trying to, you know, if they're trying to get that money to pay the artist, let's say, most stores just aren't going to do it. They're just right. Not going to order 100 copies. So it almost goes unseen. You know, Marvel doesn't make any money from the speculator market
right.
pricing of these books.
Right.
So I don't know. But, you know, and obviously DC has, you know, it seems like, especially like with Stanley Lau, you know, and Matina and some of these guys that we talk about all the time, they're under contract to do multiple covers
right.
for these companies, just, you know, week after week, it seems. And I think Marvel probably has the same deal set up, but for some reason, they just make it harder to get the covers that you want. The covers that they have that are usually open to order are their theme covers. Like right now, it's the Skrulls, and last month it was Conan. But even with some of the Conan covers, you had to jump through some hoops to get them. So it's just a different marketing strategy by both companies, and that's why. And I hate, and you know, we'll get into it probably when we start talking Marvel versus DC, yep. I guess, and that's not what I'm trying to do here, but
right.
I just give DC all the kudos to making it so much easier to get these books into collectors' hands, because, I mean, isn't that the idea of getting these books out there? Like, why do you want to put a great-looking cover on a book that only one-tenth of your base is going to be able to get if they want it?
Well, because you do, maybe, I mean, there's something to be said for being a limited edition, you know, so you know it, right. it to each his own, I guess. I get,
but we've seen even with these DC variants, even though they're open to order, like the Wonder Woman that came out today was open to order, and it's still a $15 or $16 book,
right?
Because people are still looking for it. So I don't know, like I said, I'm not trying to throw shade at Marvel either way, but I just, like I said, I give my kudos to DC when it comes to the ease of getting these covers.
We can get into more of it.
speaking of Marvel, though, there are a couple of good-looking covers that they have next week. Amazing Spider-Man number 16 has a Hawthorne Captain Marvel variant. This is open to order, and it's a really good-looking cover. This is Captain Marvel month for Marvel. These are books that are coming out mid-February, so, you know, close to the release of the Captain Marvel movie, obviously, so that's why this theme is out there. And Fantastic Four number 7, Valerio Shitty, I don't know. I don't want it to sound, you know,
yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce it, but his Captain Marvel variant is also, it's also a great-looking cover, so those are the two from Marvel I would jump on. And then for new series, Marvel has Age of X-Men Extremists number 1 of 5 issues. Obviously, it's a Marvel number 1, so there's a million different covers available. The one that stands out is the In-Hyuk Lee cover. This is another guy we've been talking about a lot lately. He's done some pretty good work for Marvel, and his books seem to garner some attention. So that's the one I would look at on that title. And last but not least, from Zenoscope Comics, we have Grim Fairy Tales, the 2019 Giant Size number 1. And again, the reason why I mention that is because, you know, Zenoscope loves their covers. There's like 6 different covers available for this book, and there's some really good-looking ones. So if you're a fan of the art style, go in and look at those books and see what they have available and try to get one ordered. And that's it for Final Order Cutoff for this coming week.
Nice.
So, moving on down into recommended reading, I've got a couple of books that I want to talk about, but I also know that you've got one, so
why don't you go ahead. Why don't you do your first one, then I'll do mine, and then we both have the second one anyway, so.
Okay, all right, so the first one I have is from Scout Comics. This is Shadow Play number 1. This is set in the Stabbity Bunny universe for Scout Comics.
Yep, although you guessed it, he stabs.
Yep. Well, I don't know. I've never read any Stabbity Bunny. Yeah.
That's a callback to a previous podcast we had.
It is, to a previous last week, I think.
No, that was a while ago. You talked about probably, I don't know, something about Stabbity Bunny, but that was a long time ago.
Well, he had a book, though, that came out just a couple of weeks ago, so I think we brought it up then again. But anyways, this takes place in the Stabbity Bunny-verse. although, having read this book today, I didn't see anything that had anything to do with Stabbity Bunny. So if you don't read that book, you don't have to have read it to read this book.
Oh, good. I didn't want to be lost.
Yeah, you won't be lost. Because I read it, and I actually liked this book. I thought it was really cool. One thing I wanted to bring up, and it's not really a spoiler, but you'll appreciate it, I think, as much as I did, because we were both artists in our younger days. But there's a scene in this where these two kids are in they meet at an art show at school, and the girl walks up to the guy and likes his sculpture that he made, and they start talking. He goes over and looks at her painting, and what I thought was really cool about this is that she had a painting which was like a self-portrait of herself on a canvas.
That's what it is.
Well,
a self-portrait of herself.
All right, Mr. Curmudgeon.
No, I'm just laughing because we used to say that all the time
in
school.
She had a self-portrait.
Don't you remember Monica Amendola?
On an easel, yeah. But anyway, so what I thought was cool about this, and then there was a couple of pads of post-it notes on the table, and there was a sign there that said, it had three rules. And the rule number one was, can't remember. I don't know why, I can't remember. Rule number two was one post-it per person. Rule number three was no profanity or whatever. Oh, rule number one was one word only. And the way you completed this art was that everybody that went and looked at it wrote the one word that came to their mind when they looked at it on a post-it note, and they started sticking it around the border of the painting.
Oh,
and
cool.
The painting would be complete when all the spots were taken of what everybody who looked at it impression of the art was. And I just thought,
that's
cool.
Know,
like, so being an artist myself, I thought that was really, really cool.
Imagine and that then, at Portfolio Day.
Yeah,
when we
had
it,
it would have been awesome.
Well,
and then,
maybe.
You know, well, because here's the thing. Like ninth graders tend to do, almost everything that was written on post-it notes was negative or snarky
right.
or something. And so when the guy looks at it, he says, oh, but everything they wrote is negative. And her comeback was, well, better out than in, basically. You know, better that they get it out
right.
than keep it in. So
right.
I don't know. It has nothing to do with the story, and it doesn't tell you anything about the book, but...
That is cool. That,
for some reason, it really called to me, and I knew that it would to you as
yeah.
well, so that's why I wanted to bring it up. But to me, that was worth the read that was worth the read in itself. But other than that, it was a pretty... I don't know. It was pretty good.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Interesting.
That was pretty
yeah.
cool, because when we used to do the art shows and stuff, you'd try to stand by your work and hope that
people... And listen.
And
right.
listen to people that don't know who you are. And just
right.
see if they were...
And then more often than not, I'd want to walk away.
Yeah. But, you go over and you're like, hey, they're talking about your stuff, and you walk away.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think I'd be brave enough to have somebody be able to put post-it notes all over my artwork with their comments, because I don't know if I could stand there and take it. So
yeah.
I thought it was really cool. So that's it. That's Shadow Play number one, Scout Comics. I think it's a 5-issue miniseries.
Oh, that's cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
So I got the Lone Ranger series. I've read 1 through 4 so far from Dynamite. Yeah. Mark Russell's writing it, and Bob Q is the artist. I keep whenever everything's capitalized on the book, Bob Q, and I always think it says BBQ, and it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
It's like you're reading. I'm like, BBQ? What? But no, I saw this book, and I was like, I saw the first one, and I had the Lone Ranger when I was a kid, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to start reading this. And of course, it's wintertime, so I sit down in my living room with a fire going, and it's like some of the first scenes in the first book, they show Tonto by a campfire with his teepee. And of course, I had Tonto, I had the teepee,
right.
I had the campfire. I had all that stuff. So, I mean, as somebody that, you know, if you had that stuff when you were a kid, definitely pick up this book. It was so much fun to read. It was so, like, nostalgic. But if you're younger, it's definitely a fun read, too, because it's so much different than all of the laser beams and space travel and everything else that's going on. It's, you know, it's the Wild West. It's pretty graphic. Too. It's
yeah.
It's pretty gruesome. There's a character in there that he's a cannibal.
Okay.
So I don't remember using that in my stories when I was playing with my figurines, but
no, I watched a lot of Lone Ranger in my day. I don't remember any cannibals
yeah, it's
there either.
Yeah, the old black and white TV show, Remember yeah. that? That was good. And then I think it did go to color too, because I remember the blue shirt.
Yeah, it went to color about halfway through.
Yeah. But yeah, just it's even if you're a new reader, a younger reader, it's definitely I think give the first book a try. It's pretty good. It's really good, actually. But yeah, as an older guy now, and like I said, not just watching the TV show, but reading the book, it brought me back to sitting down with my figurines and acting out some
and
stuff.
Playing.
And yeah. I had Silver. I didn't have Scout though. No. Tonto's horse. So Tonto had to run alongside.
Oh man, I'm not even going to get into that in today's current climate.
It's not my fault. I didn't have enough money. My parents didn't have enough money to have two horses. Either run alongside or get in the back. Right. But yeah. So, but yeah, it's a fun book, and it's way more graphic than you'd think it would be.
Well, the TV show was definitely G-rated. So
yeah, especially back then. What was that? The 40s, 50s.
Oh, no. Well, they didn't have TV in the 40s, so probably, I would say late 50s, early
60s. 60s, something like that. I'll look it up while you talk about the next one.
All right. So the last one, Heroes in Crisis. This is issue number 5 of 9.
Yeah.
Of course, written by Tom King and Clay Mann. You know, I just brought this up because, you know, if you're reading the series already, then, you know, you're reading this issue and you already know how great it is. But if you're not reading this book, we're only about halfway through. It shouldn't be too hard to go back. Like, I think I've still got copies of all 4 issues at my store because I ordered heavy to keep them in stock. So you should still be able to go back and pick it up. This is just turning into a really, really good story. This issue, I think, was really, really great. Again, I don't want to spoil anything. If you don't know what this series is about, there's you know, there's a facility called Sanctuary that was established by Batman, Wonder Woman, and Superman as a place for basically a trauma center or a PTSD center for powered characters that are out there, you know, first responding and doing things, you know, in this world that, you know, today, you know, in our world, it would be, you know,
psychological effects of being a hero.
Right. Meanwhile, with a big murder mystery happening in the background while this is going on. So, but this issue starts to ramp things up a little bit more. I don't know if you've had, I know because you told me you hadn't had a chance to read it yet.
Yeah, I haven't.
This was a really good issue, I thought. Still, I'm like, you know, we're halfway through and I haven't figured it out yet. I'm not sure exactly.
Well, you're not that bright.
No. Yeah, well, maybe not.
Neither am I, so.
Maybe not, but I do read a lot of comics, so.
Yes.
But, yeah, I don't know. Like I said, it's a great story. If you're not reading it, that's why I wanted to bring it up. If you're not reading it, you're doing yourself a disservice. You should go out and pick this thing up because by the time it's all said and done, I think, number one, it's going to have long-lasting repercussions on the DC universe going forward. But even without that, it's just a really great story written by somebody who's got experience, you know, with some of this stuff. So. It's not your normal superhero comic book fare. You know, it's not all fun and games, but it's pretty good story.
No, it's one of the books that I look forward to the most.
It was the first thing I read today.
Yeah, I saw you had it on yours as a recommendation, so I didn't, I was going to read it today, but then I was like, you know what, I'll read something else. Lone Ranger 4 came out today, so I read that. I didn't really have a lot of other time. I think we talked about it last week. I don't know if we talked about it in the podcast though, about the crossover with the Batman, the Flash.
Yeah,
that's coming up. So they're really, I'm wondering if this whole thing, and this is just, I wonder if this is going to be almost like a Flashpoint situation.
Well, I don't know. All I know is that, Tom King has gone on record saying that everything that's happening in this book is canon.
Canon,
like
right.
It's not going to be undone by the end. You know, spoilers, you know, a lot of characters are dying, and they're not all coming back by the end of this thing. So it is going to have lasting effects on on the DC universe, like I said, going forward. So I don't know if it's going to be Flashpoint. You know, there are some,
well,
you know, you've got Booster Gold, and there are some time travel implications, and that actually does come to light in this episode, in this issue. I don't want to say anything else, but there are some things that could be happening, but...
But what I meant is more of not just the story, but the idea. Like, Flashpoint at the time was a pretty revolutionary idea on how to reset your...
Well, right.
You know what I mean?
It launched the New 52.
Right. So I'm wondering if this is that kind of idea. Not the same type of story where you reset stuff, but it's like it's a pretty novel idea.
Right.
The idea of the story, it is. And then, like you said, there's a lot of stuff that's going to have some ripple effects throughout the universe, DC
right.
universe. So what is that, you know, maybe that's what I meant by maybe being like a Flashpoint type thing
right.
where it resets the entire universe.
Well, yeah, so. You never know. We'll find out in 4 months.
Yep. But back to the Lone Ranger. Aired from 1949 to 1957.
Okay, I was surprised the 49.
Yeah, they have black and white TV.
Okay.
Color TVs didn't start coming out until the mid-50s, I believe.
I didn't realize
that
show ran that long. So 8 seasons, huh?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that show ran that long. I mean, of course, I remember watching it as a kid, but I didn't think there was
eight
that many
seasons.
Episodes.
Guess how many episodes?
Back then, there was probably, 20 episodes a season? So 160?
221.
Mm. Wow, so they had almost 30 episodes a season.
Yeah. Season one, jeez, I'm still going. Season one had 52 episodes.
Oh, my God.
So
every week.
Yeah, they ran for a year. Then season two had 26. Season three, back to 52 episodes.
Wow.
Season four, 52 episodes.
That was... Back
52
then,
episodes.
Guess that's when you didn't do reruns or anything like that. You just went every week.
And season five had 39 episodes.
I also wonder if they went back to back. Like,
well, that's over eight.
I think
you said
minutes.
Over 8 years in this 5 seasons. Quote, seasons. Who knew what a season was back then?
Oh, that's true, too. Yeah.
Let's see. Season one.
It was over 8 years.
Yeah. Episode one aired on September 15th, 1949. So about a year. Episode 52 aired September 7th, 1950. So it was
literally
a year.
Single week.
Yeah.
We have just gone way deeper on the Lone Ranger than anybody besides you and I wanted to hear. But
that's okay.
But that's pretty interesting.
yeah.
220 episodes.
But you also have to remember that TV back then, TV not only was it like... What, 3 channels, if that?
Well, back then, it might have only been 1 channel. I don't know.
But not only that, it's for those of you out there listening to us on your phone,
right.
TV back then was that TV didn't come on until like 5 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
If not 6 o'clock at night for the news or something.
And it went off at midnight.
If not shortly before that, I'm talking right. like the 50s and 60s, there was nothing on. It just didn't
right.
work.
Right.
Nothing was being broadcast. So,
I still remember the end
they
of the
needed
broadcast
content.
Day when you got the national anthem
yeah, that,
and then
that's
it
our
went
generation.
Static. Yeah.
That's so. Our generation. That was actually, they were talking about that on another podcast I listened to. And he says he remembers he was in college at the time, and this was in the late 80s, the guys like our age. And he goes, one of the first times I heard the national anthem, I was at a party and we're playing beer pong. And then all of a sudden the national anthem came on. And he goes, no disrespect to any of the people serving our country, but we all stopped playing beer pong and saluted.
Right.
I was like, I just pitched, all right, just stopping. But
anybody under 30 has no idea what we're talking about right now. And they're like, the hell you say? TV didn't go on all night long and all
no.
day long?
Do you know why it started going all night? I was working
nope.
third shift, so it was in like 92, and it was the Gulf War, and they used to go off the air at 1 o'clock, and then they would pick back up at 5 a.m., and you'd get the national anthem then as well. But they wanted to give you updates on what was going on in the Gulf War, so they stayed on so they could break in at any time. And they've just been on ever since.
Well, but also by 92, we had things like HBO. Like, we had cable by then, which right. was already going 24 hours a day.
Right.
It was the network channels, which were the networks to kind of catch up.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
But if, before 92, we had round-the-clock TV, probably in the mid-80s or early 80s. But yeah, the networks still went off every night at
networks.
After the late news. I guess after, yeah, like, UHF Johnny Carson channels. And, you know, yeah. I guess after the Tonight Show and things, and then TV would go off. So,
yeah.
Yeah. The times we lived in.
Yeah. So, all right. Yeah, that was quite the tangent.
Does everybody know how old we are now? We've talked about it for the last half an hour.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So that's all our recommended reading, right?
Yeah, that's
okay.
It.
Okay. All right. Let's get into our topic.
Okay.
The Marvel DC. We already got into it a little bit. That's why I thought it would be a fun topic, because there's so many aspects of it. It's like, what do you read? What do you do? But let's start off with reading. Why do you choose DC?
Well, I think I don't know if we've covered this before or not, but the reason why DC comes to mind for me is because that's what I was introduced to. You know, as a 49-year-old guy now, and we keep talking about how old we are, but you didn't have access to all this stuff on TV like you do now. There wasn't comic book properties all over the place. They were few and far between. But what I remember from being a kid is Batman 66, which was just called Batman back then, and the Super Friends hour on Saturday mornings. So those were the characters that I was first introduced to. Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, you know, Aquaman, all the Super Friends. And as a kid, that's really all I had access to until I started getting into comic books. There was a, you know, Marvel had a couple of cartoons. Spider-Man, Captain America, and the Hulk had cartoons in the 60s that did run as reruns after school that I remember watching. But my introduction and what really got me was Batman, the Batman TV series. And so to this day, Batman's my favorite character. And that's who I identify with the most. And it's stuck with me my whole life. I mean, I've always been partial to those characters because that's what got me into quote unquote the life, you know?
Right, right.
So I don't dislike Marvel books or characters or anything. I love Marvel, but I'll always have a soft spot for DC when it comes to really any media. I lean towards DC. I think you're just the opposite.
Yes.
Because your big introduction was, I don't want to spoil it, but Spider-Man, right?
Spider-Man. So. And it's funny you say, like, I saw the Batman show. I love the Batman show, but I wasn't drawn to it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was fun. As a young kid, I was amazed they could walk up a building.
Right.
Wow, what great special effects.
And change their clothes by sliding down a pole.
Yeah. But yeah, that was all fun. But the whole Peter Parker for me, it was more Peter Parker than Spider-Man, to be honest. It was that whole, that to me really, really resonated. And that's the original cartoon.
Right, I was going to say, 60s. But at what age was this? Because where were you getting Spider-Man from? Because I don't remember Peter Parker being a big part of that cartoon. I don't remember Peter Parker really being a factor until Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends much later. That old Spider-Man cartoon, I didn't see a lot of Peter Parker there. So I'm just wondering where you were identifying with him.
Well, I liked the cartoon, and I probably ended up watching that a little bit before Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, which that was my favorite Saturday morning cartoon. Above the Super Friends. And I love the Super Friends. Well, but I could not miss. I love Spider-Man as Amazing Friends.
Me too. And by the time that came out, that was the one I liked the most as well.
But if I had to, but see, the thing is I had to be knee deep into comics by then too, because I knew all the X-Men, and I was psyched when he crossed, you know, when some of the X-Men showed up on Spider-Man and his Amazing Friends.
Right. Well, what is that? Early 80s?
Yeah. So I was probably
by then I was into comics too. I was into comics by 8 or 9. So,
but then I also liked Spider-Man from, like I said, we've talked about in the past, Spider-Man from Zoom. I love that Spider-Man costume. That was a live action Spider-Man. Excuse me. He didn't speak. He had no lines. The Electric Company. I'm sorry.
I was
going
to say
You're
Zoom.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
but
no, yeah.
The Electric Company. I remember Spider-Man from there. But you definitely never saw Peter Parker in that.
No. But I loved that costume. Right. I loved the whole the look. That was the most realistic. And then you had the one. Then seeing the Spider-Man on TV with Channel 56 would run the movie.
Yeah,
in like the early 80s or whenever that came out, the made-for-TV movie or whatever, and that costume was like, but you were just happy to see Spider-Man in live action.
Right.
But and to be honest with you, I didn't know the difference between, did you even know DC and Marvel? You just picked characters, right?
Right, yeah, not really, because I was just thinking while you were talking that my first real introduction to Marvel on TV was probably the Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk TV show. Right.
But I don't remember distinguishing between Marvel and DC back then. I don't think I even knew the difference.
No.
I just knew that it was another superhero show.
As far as I knew, they were all the same.
Right.
To be honest with you, it's like it made no difference. That's why I think it's funny when you hear people talk about, you know, there was a big divide of Marvel versus DC. And for somebody like you and I, if we ran into each other when we were 10, we just would have talked about the characters. We wouldn't have been like...
Right, but here's something, again, this just popped into my head too, but the thing that did strike me, though, as being 7 or 8 years old, let's say, the Mego action figures were huge, the world's greatest superheroes. You always saw them in the store. I had tons of them growing up. But it always struck me that when I would go into the store to look at these things, I knew who Batman was. I knew who Superman was, Wonder Woman. I knew all those DC characters. And, of course, I knew who the Hulk and Spider-Man were. But I would see, like, the Fantastic Four and some of those other characters, and I had no idea who those characters were. I never bought them. I never wanted to play with them because I didn't know who they were. Because there was no exposure to them, because I wasn't reading comics at that point, and there was no Fantastic Four on TV. I just remember thinking back and not really knowing where those characters came from, which is another reason why I think it just was DC, because that's what you had. It was the Super Friends, and you knew all those characters because you were seeing them every Saturday. And I just wasn't seeing a lot of the Marvel stuff, and thinking back to those toys, even Iron Man, I didn't know who Iron Man was. There was a Conan action figure. I didn't know who Conan was. I just didn't know any of those characters, but they were all with the superhero toys. And so,
right.
But I guess that was a huge divide between Marvel and DC for me back then, because I just didn't know. Have any exposure to those characters. So.
Yeah, and it's funny you say that about the action figures. The whole we talked about it with Venom. The whole reason that entire where did he get the suit? Oh, the Secret Wars.
Yeah.
And the reason they came out with that story was to promote the action figures.
Right. Toy Biz at the time was doing those figures.
And they were competing with DC because DC already had their action figures out.
Right. DC had the Superpowers line.
Right.
At that time, and Marvel had the Secret Wars.
And right, so well, they wrote the entire story was to promote the action figures. The action figures never really took off, but they, you know, the story spawned Venom.
Right. Right. Well, and also by
it
then,
was the largest crossover, I think, to date at the time. It was the first big crossover like that with all of their characters coming together.
Yeah, it definitely was. I think that predates even DC's Crisis, which was, I think, really was their biggest, their big line,
right,
line-wide crossover. But by then, I was knee-deep in the comics, and I knew who I knew who all the Marvel characters were. But pre-comics, as a kid, 7, 8, 9 years old, the exposure to Marvel really just wasn't there, with the exception of a couple of things. And I think that's why DC, for a lot of people my age, probably was their introduction to superheroes.
Yeah. So the other part about Marvel and DC is, where are you now? You still like,
you still
favor DC.
I do, but I didn't always. Like, it hasn't been continuous for the last 49 years, let's say. Going into the 80s, when I was really getting into comics hardcore, it was all Marvel. I still liked Batman, and obviously I loved the New Teen. I've said it a million times. The New Teen Titans was my favorite book of all time, and I still loved those books. But it was all Marvel. By then, I was into the X-Men. I was into Spider-Man, Thor. I was reading all of that stuff, and at the time, they were putting out better content. It was more adult. It didn't patronize as much as DC seemed to be at that time. And I would have told you at that point I was a Marvel, you know, I was a Marvel guy. But I've come back around again. You know, now that we're into the New 52 and Rebirth for DC, they're putting out better stuff. And so I'm not necessarily a fan of one company over the other. I'm a fan of good comics.
Right.
And right now I think DC is putting out better content. And so I would consider myself a DC guy. If I think about the books every week that I look forward to reading the most, with the exception of Spider-Man, it's all DC. I mean, Marvel's got some good stuff right now, but by and large, I'm looking forward to the DC books. That could change again. It just depends on what is being produced. But so I could go either way on it.
Yeah, I'm one of the reasons like I liked this topic and what I talked about the other day was, to me, this is the first time in my life if somebody asked me, I would say I was DC. Right. And there's never been a time I would say that. Like you, in the 80s, I was, you know, all Marvel, everything, you know. If I picked up anything, it just, yeah, I liked Batman. I loved Superman. I read it, but it wasn't like you said, I didn't look forward to it. I didn't seek it out. If I saw it, I would just, oh, that looks good. But I sought out as much Spider-Man as I could find. I sought out X-Men. I sought out all that. Now I just feel like it's shifted, and I started to ask myself why. And I'm looking at, especially now where I'm getting back in the last year or so, and this DC universe since October has been ridiculous. The way they promote it for me, and it's just really taken my focus and put it all towards that. And I'm really looking forward to whatever comes out with Disney Plus,
right,
because I know I can't be the only one that's this way. You know, that there's other people, you know, people are being affected by DC Universe. Might not be as big as everybody wants it to be, but it definitely is having an effect. And what is it going to be like a year from now when both of them are competing with each other? And they're both pumping their products, and it's going to be fun. I mean, for people, like, I know, like you said, one of the things we talked about before is, like, you know, your wallet's only so big. But at the same time, there's content there that's free if you pay for the monthly service. But I'm talking about the after, like, they're promoting their product on the shows and stuff. Makes you want to go out and, you know, buy the comics. They're promoting their weekly comics. They're promoting past comics. I think DC's doing a great job right now of promoting themselves. One of the analogies I came up with is Marvel is like the NFL. They're limited. Their movies are fantastic. You know, the NFL is 16 weeks.
Right.
DC is like baseball. It's 160. Right. They hit you all year long. Right. Boom, boom, boom. Their animated shows, their animated movies, their books, they hit you all year long. You just can't. But then all of a sudden, bam, Infinity War comes out. And then your focus goes to them for, like, you know, a month, 2 weeks on each side. Then you're back to DC again.
Well,
you know what I mean?
In a sense, right now, it's like it's 1975 again. Like, the whole reason why I just said I got into DC was because that's what there was. There was the Super Friends and there was Batman. And there was just a smattering of Marvel around. Now, there's more Marvel now than there was then. But it, like you said, it's DC every day with DC Universe. And every 3 times a year, we get a new movie from Marvel. Couple times a year, we get a Netflix show that ties us up for a day and a half until we binge 10 episodes and then
exactly.
We're done. But yeah, a year from now, when there's both streaming services happening, now they're going to be back to fighting for our time again, because like right now I'm watching a ton of DC, but it's not all new content. Like, I'm rewatching cartoons that I've already watched. I'm rewatching a lot of stuff. Lois and Clark, I just binged again on DC Universe. So
yeah.
A bunch of stuff I've already seen. And I'm only doing that because I have the time to do it right now. But when both streaming services are happening, I'm probably only going to have time to just jump from original program to original program back and forth. And I'm not going to have time to go be binging deep into all these different old series like I can right now with DC.
Well, it depends. I could see, like, okay, let me just hypothetically, by the time DC Plus comes out, I think I'll be mostly done with any past content of DC that I want to ingest. So then all the Marvel content, I'll start looking at, like, what if they come out with. See, the thing with the Marvel content is I feel like there isn't any Marvel content, but there is. If you search for it, you can find it. It's just so hard to find right now. It's not centrally located. Once it's centrally located, like on the DC Universe, if you can just look and you'll find the old Spider-Man shows. You'll find Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I have all these, but they're on different parts of my apps. I've bought Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. It's just not as accessible to me. And, I mean, listen to it. First world problems. It's on my Apple TV. I just have to do 3 extra clicks to get to it, so it's a little harder.
Right, but going back to what you just said, if in a year from now you've exhausted everything that you want from the DC Universe, what's the sustainability of that platform for the next 5 years going forward?
Right.
If all you're looking for is their new content a couple times a year, that, you know, they have to keep putting new stuff on
there
to watch. Otherwise, there's not going to be any reason, because at a certain point, you'll have watched everything off the Disney service also.
Correct.
That you want. The thing that Disney is going to have a leg up on is that it's got multiple options on there, because you're going to have Disney plus Marvel plus Star Wars.
Right.
So there's a lot. They're actually going to have, I think, a lot more content available than what the DC Universe has, just because of those three big properties that the Disney Plus is going to have. So it might take you a little bit longer to go through all of that stuff. But I still, at a certain point, given enough time, you'll have ingested all of that too, and then there'll be nothing left for you on
maybe,
either service.
But they're also coming out with new stuff. You know, like right. we have Doom Patrol coming in a few weeks.
Well, right, but then and it's right going to become the frequency of how many new things can they put out every
right.
year.
Right.
You'll almost have to go right from one directly into the next one all year long to keep me going. Otherwise, you know, there won't be enough to want to keep doing it. Now, I
right.
can go back and watch stuff. Like, I can watch Lois and Clark again.
Right.
You know, or...
Well, that's the thing, is I'll watch stuff multiple times over and over.
Right.
And it's... And to be honest with you, like Daredevil on Netflix, I don't know if... Those are hard shows to rewatch. I've done season one twice, and
yeah.
I know the second time. And I'm not saying they're hard to watch because they're not entertaining, but they are draining. They're very emotional shows.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's almost like to be a writer to write a show that you would watch multiple times. It has to be a fun show. You can't it can't be a drama because it just takes too much out of you. You know what, it's like when the first time you watch those, you know, we're going through Punisher right now or the first Punisher. Those are gory, dramatic shows that really pull at you. And to sit down and watch it again, you're just like.
Yeah.
Whereas Lois and Clark, that's a fun show.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, this has nothing to do with comic books at all, but I'm watching on ABC, there's a show called A Million Little Things. I don't know if you're watching this show or not.
No.
But, oh my God, at the end of every single week, I want to jump off a cliff because it is so... like emotionally draining. It's like I just want to kill myself after the end of every week. But it's such a good show, like I keep coming
right.
back for it. But yeah, I can't imagine ever wanting to watch this a
That's
second
what I mean.
Time.
Yeah.
It's just like so depressing and so much that happens. And yeah, I don't know why that popped into my head, but when you were talking about
emotionally draining, yeah.
That show is like, and I don't watch This Is Us, but I hear that's kind of the same thing. It's like you just want to, like, cry your eyes out after every single episode.
Yeah. It's, like, I got, again, this is another, it's the same tangent, but I think my wife bought me the movie Warrior, where the MMA fighters, and she's like, this is supposed to be unbelievable. One brother has to fight the other brother because of this, and it's just so emotional. I've never watched that movie.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't want to sit down and bawl my eyes out and watch two brothers fight because they're trying to support the family, but one brother's got to... What?
I've never seen it, so I don't know.
Yeah, if you tell me going in that it's going to be that emotional, I don't want to invest my emotions that much. It's
right.
like, no. You got to catch me by surprise.
Well, I guess now you'll never watch A Million Little Things because
probably not. So that's why I won't. What was the other one you said? This Is Us or whatever.
This Is Us. Yeah, I don't watch that. But
and same reason. I'm sure it's a phenomenal show. Right. I just am not like I don't want to sit down and deal with that. But So back to DC and Marvel. It's the comparisons to me when people talk about do you like DC or Marvel? It goes back and forth. And it should. I think depending on the content that's out at the time, that's what you're... I don't think there really is a DC versus Marvel anymore.
Well, my standard answer, because, you know, obviously working in a comic book store, I hear this a lot, right? I mean, people come in all the time and that's the first thing they want to ask, you know. And my standard response is, why do I have to choose?
Right.
And I would still say that now. It's like, why do I have to choose Marvel or DC? There's no rule that says I can only like one or the other.
Right.
To me, I like parts of both, and I can't stand parts of both. There's DC books that I think are terrible, and there's Marvel books that I think are great,
but
and
they're,
vice versa.
And they both have the same things.
Right.
You know, like, I think of, like, Justice League Dark is like the X-Men to me. It's like, that's the... You know what I mean?
Right.
If you were to mix, you know, their worlds to look at their two universes, that's, to me, it's like, that's what the X-Men are. They're the mysterious and the magical, if you will.
Well,
and it's, so they, and they all have a lot of characters that mirror each other, just because, you know, so they can each have that character in their universe. And there's good stories and bad stories from each of them.
Right.
It's, you know, not every story is going to be a home run, but it's, again, it's, it, this DC versus Marvel, it really, I don't really see that anymore. I don't, I think it's more like you said, it's people just, they, that's why I brought it up. I'm like, because you know, everybody brings it up.
Right.
And we hadn't talked about it yet. So I'm like, ah, it's a good thing to talk about. But it's, to me, it's like, what do we do week after week? We talk characters.
Right.
We talk stories. We're not like, you know.
Because there's always, people always love to compare it. Like, we do it in everything in life. You know, Reebok or Nike, Coke or Pepsi. And, you know, the difference is certain things you can quantify and certain things you don't. Like, Coke is right, Pepsi is wrong, and that's just the way it is. But there is no right and wrong between Reebok or Nike or
yes, there is. I bought
Marvel
a pair
in DC. There's no, it's preference, I guess, more than anything.
I bought a pair of Nikes with my own money, and they lasted me like 3 years. I bought a pair of Reeboks. They literally fell apart within 6 months.
I could
and
probably
it was my own money back then.
I could
so
probably
ever
wear
since then,
a Nike on my left foot and a Reebok on my right foot, and I wouldn't even be able to tell the difference.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's any reason for that, you know?
No, I just got a bad pair.
Right.
But that affects you as a kid. You
oh,
know,
for
it's
sure.
Like I
anytime
used my paper
own,
I used my paper route money.
It was like I wanted to lay your own cash down on the line, then it's, you know. But you know, it's funny because as a younger kid, I had to have the Reeboks,
Zips.
Right? That well, Reeboks was the thing in the 80s, right? You had to go to school with your Reeboks on.
Yeah.
But once I had to start putting down my own money, it was kids. You know, because because I wasn't spending my parents' money anymore.
No, that's I bought my Air Jordans myself.
Yeah,
and it was. But yeah, no, it's and but I was gonna say like Coke and you're like right and wrong, but Coke it all of these things are tastes.
Coke is right, Pepsi is wrong. that's the end of I'll take that to my grave, but. But you're right. It's preference. Everybody.
He's not lying, people. Peek behind the curtain. I'm watching him right now. He's drinking a Coke. It's like it's a diet Coke, but he's drinking a Coke.
But it's Coke.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's. I was a Coke guy myself. I used to drink a 2-liter bottle after playing tennis for 6 hours. So, I'm surprised I don't have a hole in my stomach.
Oh, I don't have one in mine, but.
But yeah, the Coke and Pepsi and all of these things, it's all that you could say is a taste.
Right.
No audio issue there.
No, right? You saw that?
Just run right into your microphone. but the Marvel and DC, it's like, yeah, you could say it's taste, but it's the stories, it's the characters. It's whatever's hot at the moment. And I don't think it's like right now for me, it's DC, but I'm getting inundated with DC product. But in a month, we're going to be all Marvel, Captain right. Marvel, to be exact. And then a month, and then a month, yeah. And a month from that will be Shazam, you know. And then, 3 weeks after that is the big
I say
the
Shazam
big one.
Before Endgame? I guess it
is. Yeah, Shazam's April 5th or something like that. It's the first week of April.
Yeah, and then so, Endgame is the end of April.
Yeah.
So
and I'm excited for all of them. Obviously, Endgame's the biggest, but I'm excited for Shazam.
I can't wait. I can't wait to see that. I think it looks great.
That's going to be an event to me.
Again, I don't usually watch.
As big an event as Captain Marvel.
I don't usually watch trailers, but I did see the teaser, part of the teaser for
Shazam.
For Shazam. And that scene where he runs off the building and jumps and yells Shazam and transforms in the air, that's like spectacular, you know?
Yeah, that. So. Yeah, that.
Again, that sold me right away on just wanting to go see that movie.
The whole trailer, the when he's walking into the throne room or whatever you want to call it,
yeah,
to see the wizard, it was that or Shazam,
yeah,
it looks awesome. Looks really good.
I'm a little and I don't know yet because I haven't seen it, but I'm a little disappointed that we don't get Mr. Mind. And I can't think of the cat's name, but
The cat. The,
yeah.
Oh.
The half cat.
Yeah.
Toon says the driving cat.
No, but yeah.
But you know, if you notice, that, there's a they pay respects to the cat on the costume, around the where the cape fastens to the costume.
Yep.
There's the little medallions with the tiger head on it. So
yeah,
that's pretty cool. But yeah, yeah, I would just love to see you know, a big worm with with reading glasses as my villain. So
yeah, but that's gonna be an event. It's that, and again, so right there, we're gonna go Marvel, DC, Marvel, good.
Well, and we really go Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel, Avengers.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really cool.
And then we get Spider-Man.
Yeah, in July.
Do we have any other DC movies this year?
I don't think we get another DC this year. We go into Star Wars in December, I think is the next big.
Yeah.
After Homecoming, or Far From Home, rather, I think it'll be Star Wars.
I think Wonder Woman. No?
I'm not sure if Birds of Prey is the end of this year. It might be before the end of this year.
No, that's 2020. They just started filming. It's 2020. Oh. I think it's next summer.
Okay.
It's because that's the they just had that little snippet trailer out.
Yeah, I saw that.
You saw that? That was pretty
looked
cool.
Like a looked like a Chanel commercial.
Yeah. But yeah, that Black Widow starts filming next month. That's coming out in what, 2020, something like that. Then you have Batman and stuff. That you heard about that one.
The Batman, which I'm really excited about. If the rumors, or you know, what he says is true, is actually true. Because I've been saying that for a long time, that we really need to see the detective part of Batman on screen, and it sounds like that's what Matt Reeves is going to try to do with that character, is make it a little bit more noir and, you know, more like a thriller. And I think that's the way to go with Batman right now, because we've seen
everything else has been done.
Well, that's the thing. I don't need another origin story. I don't need to see the Joker again. I don't need to see Ra's al Ghul again. Ra's al Ghul is in more incarnations on TV than anybody. I mean, he's in every show. Every DC show there is has Ra's al Ghul in it. But we never get the world's greatest detective when it comes to Batman. So that's what I'm really hoping he brings out, and give us just a really cool, you know, mystery to solve. And I think it'll be a great movie, because it hasn't been done yet. It's something new that we can see.
Almost
with that
like a Sherlock Holmes with a utility belt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That would be fun. That would be really good. But yeah,
I would even, and I know they won't do this, but I would go out on a limb and say I would love to see it done in like black and white. You know, and really make it like
a really noir
movie.
Yeah.
I think that would be awesome. But they won't do that these days because people won't stand still for a black and white movie. But
I don't know. I think you could pull it off if you did it well.
Yeah. I just picture it like the old, like, you know, really black and white, always raining, you know, just really kind of gritty. And I would love to see that version of Batman.
Well, the original Tim Burton's were pretty dark.
They were dark.
They weren't black and white, obviously. None of them were. But after the Tim Burton's, they went so bright that it was comic booky, which is fine. I actually, at the time, I appreciated it for being like a comic book. But it wasn't like a Batman comic book.
Right.
That's
well, but even with Tim Burton's, though, it was gritty in a sense. But then you also had the, like the Jack Nicholson Joker, which was way over the top and very comic booky and cartoony. So the second one now was way darker.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Where so after the first two Batmans in the 80s, 89 and Batman and Batman Returns.
Then you had Forever. Which was the
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
And Kilmer, Clooney versions, those things were so bright that by comparison, the Christopher Nolans almost felt black and white.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's like, I think that if you went from the Christopher Nolans to a black and white, and maybe not a straight black and white, but really maybe if you tinted it or something, and you, but you made it more monochromatic.
Right.
You just really dulled down the color.
More like a Sin City or something.
Yeah.
Along those lines. I think I think that could work.
But like you said,
it would be very cool.
I think it would be more about the story.
Right.
If you had a really good, like a Sherlock Holmes story, like a really good mystery, that by the end of it, you, especially Batman fans, would love that. But then on top of that, I think you would really enjoy, I think you would pull in a bunch of people that didn't know, that don't know that part of Batman, of
right.
Bruce Wayne. You know, I mean, he became a detective because of his parents. You know, the whole entire, but we know that part. We know why he became Batman. But
well, I think
like
the
you
only,
said, we haven't seen the detective part yet.
To my mind, or at least as far as I can recall, the only time we've ever seen him even play at being a detective was in the original 1989 version when, you know, he was trying to figure out how the Joker was getting all the product, you know, tainting all the products. And he was doing a little bit of his detective work. But I don't think
right.
we saw it anywhere else. Like, I don't remember any of the Nolan movies
no.
really playing that angle up at all.
But the other thing, it was always computers. It was
right.
always, it wasn't him. It
right.
wasn't his mind. It wasn't like, again, like a Sherlock Holmes. It wasn't like his mind working out the problems and figuring this stuff out. Like in Christopher Nolan's, he went out, it was his gadgets that
right.
did that figured out the mystery. Like he was able to take a bullet out of a wall, recreate it, and pull a fingerprint off of a crushed bullet. But that wasn't him figuring it out. That was technology.
Exactly.
We need one that where he figures it out and technology aids his mind, not the other way around. So that would be interesting. So.
Yeah, I think so. And like, it seems like that's the way Matt Reeves is going to go with the character. Obviously not, he didn't say anything about it being black and white, but
definitely going with a younger version.
Yes, and
you've heard
I think
that.
we've all but, even though he still hasn't confirmed it 100% that Ben Affleck is out, but we all, I think, at this point know that Ben Affleck isn't coming back as Batman.
I saw a pretty good take today on Twitter. I wish I could remember who said it. But they're like, what about he was saying he's holding out the possibility that they do Matt Reeves does a three part and then Affleck comes back for the third.
Well, even
because,
then, I mean,
because
he'll be 60 years old by then, though. You know
right.
what I mean?
But
three movies
Batman
from now is.
But Batman ages. You know what I mean? So it's like, so you do two movies and then you jump back forward to today.
Right.
And then you have, you know what I mean? Like these, the first two are in his past. So
it's possible,
when Batman was younger.
I get the feeling that whoever he casts for his trilogy is probably going to be the one we get through the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, who knows? There's always to me, it's, you know, if I'm Matt Reeves, I want a different direction. You know, Ben Affleck was Zack Snyder's Batman. And if I'm going to take on this franchise, I want to put my own stamp on it. So I think
right.
he's going to want to do something completely different. And I don't think we'll see Ben Affleck back, which is a shame because I liked his Batman. I don't think we got enough of it, and I don't think they really did him justice. But I think he had the potential to be really good if we would have gotten the opportunity to see him again.
Well, I think that whole story that we lost a lot there, something went wrong.
Well, for sure.
And, you know.
Well, DC's even come out basically in the last week or so, have basically come out and said they're all but abandoning their shared universe concept and, you know, they're just going to treat things as individual products. And I don't think that necessarily means that we won't be able to see some, like, we could still see Wonder Woman pop up in another film, but they are not devoting their time into building a shared universe at this point. So
what I had heard, and I thought it came from DC, because a lot of people were saying that, speculating exactly what you just said. And what they said is, it's not that they're not exploring it and they're not going to develop it, but they're not, they're right now they're just concentrating on a character at a time.
Oh yeah, I'm not saying they've abandoned
it. Doesn't mean they won't do it in the future.
I'm not saying they've abandoned it forever, but that's not their focus right now. You know, their focus is just individual good movies. And, you know, again, we have now Aquaman, who has surpassed the Dark Knight trilogy and has made more money than any other DC movie. And you didn't see anybody else in that movie. There was no crossover. There was no anything. I mean, there was mention of the Justice League in passing that, hey, this is something that happened in my life in the past. But they have proven that you can do all the money in the world without having a shared universe. So I think that's – and, you know, honestly, I think that's what DC needs to do. Again, at some point down the line, I would love to see another Justice League movie done. But I think they should just take their time and develop each one of these movies and characters as their own thing. And I know we've talked about this before, and they don't have to follow the Marvel process because that's how Marvel did it. But I just feel like that's what they're good at right now is telling these standalone
movies.
Well,
that's how Marvel did it too.
You know.
So that's it's.
But Marvel always had the intent of the shared universe, at least in mind. I mean, from the very end of the first Iron Man movie, they were at least thinking about it. Now, if Iron Man flopped like Hulk did, right? Then they wouldn't have had it. But they were at least thinking about it.
Hulk was the second movie, wasn't it? And that flopped.
Yeah,
people didn't like it, and that was the second take of Hulk.
Right, but they were still, like I said, they were laying the seeds in, just in case. And I think, you know, in their case, you know, the seeds bloomed and everything blossomed into what we have today. And right now for DC, that's not been the case. So I don't think it's that they have to go back and do it the same way Marvel did it. But I think when they've been very successful with their movies, it's been with single characters and not trying to build any kind of cohesive universe. So I think that's what they're going to focus on, at least for the short term. But yeah, I want to see these. You know, we've talked about it before, and it's just like reading comics. Like, I want to see all these characters playing together. You know, we want them all to be friends, and we want them all to get together and do things. And, you know, that's why we love the Arrowverse crossovers and all this stuff, because we're comic book readers, and that's what happens in comics. These characters all get together. They all know each other. They go out to have pizza. They do whatever. And we want to see that in our movies. But I'm still okay with the issues where it's just Spider-Man and nobody else. So I think for now that's what they're going to do. But at some point I hope they are able to, you know, get all these things together and you know, have these big crossover movies too.
Yeah, the funny thing is like in a comic book it's easy. You can have Spider-Man in any book at any time.
Right.
Captain America can just show up on page 7 and that's it and be gone.
Exactly.
But you can't do that in a movie because you have to pay Chris Evans an exorbitant amount of money to show up in, you know, the first part of scene 2 and then never be back again. Then you have to listen to, why wasn't he in more of it?
Right.
I want to see more Chris Evans. Yeah. And it's like,
comic book Spider-Man doesn't get any more money if he shows up in 7 books that month or if he shows up in 1 book.
Right. You had to fill the page with artwork and you just drew a different character.
Right.
So it doesn't cost any more or any less. But we still, even now, I read a book and if I turn the page and there's a different character from the universe in the book, you're like, oh, it's, you know, I'm a grown man here, and I'm, like, getting, you know, my breath taken away because there's a different – you're like, yay, crossover. But he's only passing through. And if they could ever come to that, that's what I'm hoping for out of, like, these shows on the DC Universe and hopefully on Disney Plus, where it's a smaller world. The money isn't as much for the talent. You know what I mean? Or the talent is under contract that I want you in this show. You're going to show up to do a scene in this show.
Well, and I think that's the way it is for the movie characters too, though. Like Chris, all these guys have signed deals to appear in X number of movies for a set amount of money. So I don't think he gets, and I could be completely wrong, but I don't think Chris Evans gets extra money because of the cameo in Homecoming. I think that's just one of his contractually obligated appearances.
Right, but that's the thing. So he does a cameo, and you just wasted a movie that he could be in, as opposed to a whole movie he'd be in.
Right, but they're signed. I think they're signed on to do X number of, you know, again, who knows? I'm talking out of my butt here. I don't really know, but.
Well, no, I remember when they were talking about.
But I think they all signed multi-picture deal contracts, and.
They did, but Robert Downey Jr., I think, redid his deal because of Spider-Man Homecoming, and it was like to make that different from the rest of the deals because they didn't want to waste, like, okay, well, here, I was going to be in seven of them, and this will be my seventh, so now I'm not in the second Infinity War. It was something like that.
Yeah.
And it was just a cameo, so they didn't want to waste it on that. So, yeah, there are deals like that, but the money is just so great.
Well, especially if it costs Robert Downey Jr. so much. You know, he gets $1 billion just to show up and eat a cracker. You know, it doesn't matter. But they're not all Robert Downey Jr. So,
no.
Well, and actually, I think that was part of. You know, I might be mistaken, but I think that's what happened with Henry Cavill. And I believe he was supposed to appear in Shazam, and that fell through. I think because of money.
Did
issues.
It definitely fall through?
Well. So they say. I mean, we won't know for sure until we see it. But if he's in it, it's been kept pretty well under wraps because we don't know that he's done anything. But I don't know. Like I said, I'm sure they get. I don't think it's like seven appearances straight across the board because appearing for 2 minutes in Homecoming is a lot different than a whole Endgame movie.
It's all what's in the contract. Yeah, that's all. You know. Yeah. So.
But going back to what you were saying, yes, I hope on the DC Universe app, you know, again, I hate to keep saying this because we say it all the time. I know we've talked about this before, but we all want to see these characters crossing back and forth between the shows on the DC Universe, you know, because we already got the Doom Patrol on Titans and, you know, we're hoping we'll get Swamp Thing in Doom Patrol or something along those lines. But yeah, my goal would be hopefully at some point to see them all just be one big show that kind of like the Arrowverse is. Because even when it's not the crossover, you'll still get Felicity pop up once in a while on Flash. And like they still kind of show up unannounced in their each other's shows. And that just lends you to have this belief that they all share the same world. Because that would happen. Like friends just get together every once in a while.
Right.
And that's what I would love to see out of these DC Universe shows and also hopefully out of the Disney shows too.
One of the funny things that I was talking earlier about in Death of Superman is in one of the opening scenes, Superman has a fight and they kind of like mess up the city a little bit. So he calls the Flash. And he said, and the Flash shows up like in a flash.
Right.
And he goes, I need help cleaning up. And he's like, oh, you need help? And he goes, well, actually, I need you to do it. I got to take off. So they take off and Flash is left standing there to clean up all the mess by himself. And he makes the joke. He goes, ugh, I hate this. I wonder if it's too late for me to be part of the Titans.
Right.
And he goes, and then as they're like fading away, you hear his voice go, is there an age limit? But it was pretty funny because it was like, this is the Justice League and he wants, you know what I mean? That's a small crossover, but he's mentioning something, you know what I mean? He's mentioning the Titans and he's like, oh, I wonder if there's an age limit. But it's that crossover, that stuff, just bringing all that stuff together.
Even on Titans, and
never mind that it sells product.
Right, even on Titans, you had that, you know. And again, here I go again.
Right,
we've talked about this before, but you know, just the mention of the Justice League, or just them saying Batman and Robin and Wonder Woman together was enough. Like we didn't even have to see it. So, going back to their cinematic movies. I'd be okay if they just talked about these other characters being being, like, even in Aquaman, just the fact that he mentioned the Justice League, that was enough to let you know that
right.
they all existed. You didn't ever even have to see them. So if we get to the next movie, you know, Shazam comes out, let's say they just talk about Green Lantern, even though we've never seen Green Lantern yet in this version of the cinematic universe, that's enough for me. Like, you just mentioned that he exists, and it just it builds anticipation that we may see that later on down the line. So you don't even have to spend any money to show it. It doesn't cost you any money to say Green Lantern. You know, you're,
right.
you're speaking a lot of words anyways. You know,
right.
there's no extra money to talk about things. Because we already saw that in Titans, just how kind of exciting it was. Just the idea of them talking about hanging out with Batman and Wonder Woman.
Right.
So I think there's a way they could bring that into the movies also and just make it more connected, even though you never really see that, you know, see it come
right.
to fruition. So, because even on Titans, we may never see Wonder Woman. We probably won't ever see Wonder Woman or Superman, but we know they're there because they've talked about them. So, and we could guess that Flash and Green Lantern and everybody else exists too, because they'd be part of the Justice League.
Right.
So.
So. That's,
Yeah, definitely not. I don't know if that's Marvel versus DC related, but.
Of course it is. It's all Marvel and DC, and
yeah.
it's just, it's where the topic went. So, let's, Marvel or DC next week. Do you want to do Young Justice, or do you want to do,
Punisher?
Punisher. Yeah,
we can do either one. We can do either one. I'm finished with Young Justice, and I'll be done with Punisher tomorrow. So, whichever one you want to, we've done a lot more DC lately than Marvel. So, why don't we go ahead and do Punisher? I think.
Okay, that's funny. Marvel or DC? Well, we've done a lot of DC. So,
well, it's just because there's been more to talk about recently. But here,
yeah.
coming up in the next several weeks, we'll have more Marvel to talk about because we'll be getting closer to these movies. So.
Yeah, well, so the week after we'll probably do that. We'll do a little. We'll touch on Young Justice, but then we'll be getting into Doom Patrol as well.
Yeah,
in a couple of weeks, so that'll be that. That should be fun. So, that good?
Yep,
we good.
I'm good.
All right. What do you like, Marvel or DC, or are we all wrong? Let us know. hit us up on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. You can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. And you can rate, review, subscribe on iTunes. You can search us at The Bright Side Chat. We come up first if you type out The Bright Side Chat.
Hey.
if you stop at The Bright Side, you get a whole bunch of stuff. but... And yeah, you could search for us on Google.
So if
Google
you type
Play as well.
If you type in our whole name letter for letter, we come up first.
Yes.
Hey.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. But actually, there are a lot of people just called The Bright Side.
Yeah.
So that is their name, and there's a bunch of them. But we are the only chat.
There you go. The one and only, the original.
Yep. For now, anyways. Yeah. So somebody scoops it up and sees how cool we are.
Often imitated, never duplicated.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they want to duplicate it. But and on Facebook?
Facebook.com/thebrightsidechat.
Nice. Alrighty. Good? We're good.
Good.
That was a long night.
It was.
I had fun, though.
Me too.
Alright. I'll see you next week.
Alright.
Hey, Fred. Thanks for listening to The Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.